Well, good afternoon, brother. It's good to be back with you, and sure everybody had a really good feast. I know it's been on our mind a lot. You're back in the world, and we've had a lot of illnesses and different things that are happening in our society today that brings to mind some reasons why God has called us out of this world and given us an understanding that is unique and very precious to us at all. But when you think of what's going on in the news, you got things like supply chain. I mean, then somebody went into the store here recently to buy some paint. The regular price of the shelf to get up there to the cash register, 4% charge on the fact that they're now a chain supply fee. So, I mean, that's the start of what we're looking at. And when you look at the dock workers and the truckers and all that, they say, well, look, we've been working 24/7 anyway before the announcement came out, but we got truckers standing in line for hours at a time, waiting and sometimes leaving without having a load of their trucks. So that's the confusion that we have. We have border crises, which somebody says we have one, but there's thousands of people pushing through Mexico to enter the United States, and we're going to have to face that issue when it does come. There's a threat of terrorists that we're looking at. So all these things are things that we're dealing with today that when you think of terrorist attacks, price increases, which have gone up and up over time here, religious persecution that's coming upon us more and more every day, and some areas where they've actually stopped certain publications going out, and that's being censors that are already in place to make sure that certain words or conservative voices are being curtailed and stopped. Then there's the total rejection of God's word and God and his way of life totally. And that's just the beginning. And I'm just skirting to the surface. But the world we now live in is covered with darkness, gloom, and anxiety. And it's when you think about it, sometimes it makes you mad, sometimes it makes you sad to think about what is actually taking place. But when you think about all this, this is the new norm, if you look at it from the world, of what is happening on us and the preparation of what is coming in the future. So we need to be aware of some of these things, of what is taking place. The power of darkness comes from Satan, the devil, as we know. He is darkness. He is creating the caveat, you might say, of the confusion and the misunderstandings that are going on in this world right now before us. If you go to Revelation 12 and verse 9, we see that he is deceiving the whole world. So that's what he's busy doing right now, creating confusion, creating conflict, just confusion out there. People can't even, logic is out of the question. When you ask somebody a serious question about why this is happening, it defies logic, the answers that coming back. You wonder, have they studied these things? Are they sitting down and analyzing what's really the problem? And you realize they're not. I know that we were going through the church upheaval many years ago. The individuals that were trying to push for reform or changes in the church, no logic whatsoever. Why they were doing what they were doing. They were just doing it. And you see that happening right now. But it's always Satan behind these issues. And when you look at Revelation 13, and you see the buildup of what's coming in the future, that Satan is building, the beast power will be taking over. So everything we're facing now is really a foretaste of what's coming in the future. And we need to be aware. This may not be the mark of the beast coming up, but you can understand, and I'm not talking about choices people make, that's personal. But when you think about the impact of what the pandemic has really done to our society, and you realize that the mark of the beast, whatever it is, you can't work, you can't buy food, you can't go into style shops or whatever the case may be, you know, how easy will that be? And the choices you will have to make at that time is very important. Because we already have people, even healthcare workers, that have been mandated that if you don't do certain things, You cannot work, you are fired. Once you're fired, if you're in the military, I'll give you an example there. In the military, if you're dishonorably discharged, once that's on your record, it's on your record. And if you go to apply for a job, they're going to disclose that. And your chances of getting any substantial job just will not be there for you. So I'm not saying anything about what's currently happening. It's certainly not the mark of the beast yet. But it's easy to imagine how quickly the mark of the beast could be put on the people and how quickly they would gravitate to it. It's survival. The normal individual is looking at, well, how do I maintain my livelihood? How do I take care of my family? How do I feed my kids? And that's a very logical question. If you love your family, how are you going to handle these events when they come upon you? Well, it's going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take a lot of trust on our part. And because Satan is going to instill that. And all it takes is one dictator. Hitler did it. And he mandated certain things. And same way in Russia. And a lot of changes took place. So you look at what's happened in history. And I know that's not a popular thing to say anymore because we're doing away with history. Nobody wants to know anything about history anymore. But if you look at history, I mean, you look at the 1918 revolution in Russia when the World War I ended and the Bolsheviks took over, and see what took place in Russia and how fast it took place. And it just keeps that in mind that you have to be prepared for what might be coming in the future. But we have hope because God has done something for us that have listened and been called out of this world and been called. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. And it's a very well-known scripture. I've used it many times myself. And you probably think, well, doesn't he know another scripture? But this one's a very powerful scripture. It doesn't mean it's automatic. It means we have to do something. A lot of people think, well, God is a God of unconditional love. Oh, God is a God of love. But there are conditions. And that is we need to keep his laws and his commandments to qualify. And that if we qualify and we do these things, then God is going to bless us. He's given us all these promises and opportunities. But there are things we need to do. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. He says here, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. Now, the important statement I want to draw your attention to is, who called you out of darkness. Now, we already talked that Satan is the author of darkness, the void of any Christian knowledge or godly knowledge is coming out of that. God is saying, come out of her. He's taken you out of darkness, but it's easy to slip back into it. You know, you come out, you're free, you're clear, you're doing what you want to do, and how easy it is to stumble and then make a mistake and fall back in the same routine that you were before. But he says, I'm calling you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, that's the word of God. That's the way of God's opening the door for you to see what the future is, what his plan is for you, why you exist. Why are you part of the family of God? Because he wants you to make you children of God, sons and daughters of God in his kingdom. That's what we're working for right now. So he said, he called you out of darkness, Satan's world, without knowledge of God, into his marvelous light, and opened up your mind, your spirit, to be able to understand the things of God, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So God called us out. He gave his own son for us to have the opportunity for everlasting life. And when you think of that impact power that God was willing to sacrifice his own son, and his son was willing to give up his life for us individually. That's a very powerful statement that we need to make. Well, continuing on that theme, in John 14 and verse 25. John 14, verse 25. This is Jesus Christ talking to his apostles before his death and crucifixion. He said, these things, talking to them, just like it'd be talking to you right now, because this is applying to you just as much as it was to his apostles when standing in front of him. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, I will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So God's given us an aid to make sure we understand his teaching, his law, not leaving us alone, defenseless. He's given us his Holy Spirit, the power of God to understand the things of God. When you think about that, you know, I admired that many times, so many people that were much more intelligent than I am, that understood nothing that we could understand very clearly. We could read the same thing and have a totally different interpretation because God has given us the understanding of what that means as opposed to what most of them think. But, you know, a lot of people now are carrying firearms. Well, God's given us his Holy Spirit, so it's locked and armed. So we can use God's Holy Spirit anytime we need to defend ourselves and understand God's word and the power of it to give us strength and encouragement when we're under battlegrounds. And you can't ever forget that, because there are times we're going to be tried right in the church of God, and we're going to have to defend ourselves or have the faith to understand that God is working out something in us. And we have to realize that with God's Holy Spirit, we can overcome these things. But he's given us tools to be able to do these things. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed them to us. He's talking about his word, his way of life, and the plans he has for us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man in him? So he's talking about the normal intellect of the individual, but that's an incomplete person. And you have to realize that a person without God's Spirit is not really complete. He doesn't have that knowledge of God, that understanding that you and I have and been blessed to have, and we have to keep that intact. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So that's what God has given each one of us. He gave it to the apostles. He said, it's coming. The Helper is going to be there with you. These are things we just take for granted sometimes. Well, we can't. It can be taken away so easily. We can stumble. And we have seen friends and neighbors and people we've grown up with in the church and all that have gone out, no longer with us, because they didn't heed some of these things and take them for what they were and treasure them. And we need to treasure these things so no one knows what the things of God except the Spirit of God that reveals them to it. Now we have received the Spirit of the world, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We didn't have to pay a price for it. We didn't have to pay a toll or anything or a tax. God said he gave it to us freely by the Father to us directly. Goes on in verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches by but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spirit with things that are spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So God gives us his Holy Spirit so we can discern these things and understand them. We can study God's Bible and understand as we take out the knowledge and pick it out, pull it out. A lot of times we're doing studies, I know our family has done collectively on different subjects, And we're going in depth to try to have a deeper understanding of some of those things that God has revealed to us. And it's very exciting when you see that this one book has the whole plan of God in it. Everything you want to know about salvation is right there. We just need to know the encouragement. If you get discouraged, it's in there. If you have problems with health and whatever, it's all in this book. One book that God gave us and revealed it if we have His Holy Spirit and we exercise that knowledge. Go to John 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So here we go. We have Jesus again reminding us that we're coming out of darkness. And He is the light of the world. He gives us life. He gives us understanding. Because the light is the Word of God. It is the light that gives us life to live and be able to enjoy life. And look to the future of being part of God's family and His kingdom. Psalm 27 verse 1 emphasizes that when it says, Psalms 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? For the Lord is strength of my life. So when we're down, I mean, we've got a lot of people that have been sick, and there's some that are very serious that are in the hospital with cancer and various things like this. And they're going to need the miracle of God. They're going to need the love of God and our prayers to keep them healthy and strong and revive them. And we were in Montana during the feast, and a lot of people, unfortunately, were struck with the COVID virus. And some of it was very serious. But it took the brethren to pray and have the love of one another to be able to ask God to heal us. We have that hope in us. I can't imagine being in the world and not have God, because there's times when I face my own trials and realize that without going to God and having His help, I wonder, how would I survive? What would be my mental capacity and my mental state if I couldn't rely on my God to come and help me through this trial? So, brethren, we are very blessed. And I know each and every of you understand that and exercise those options all the time. But sometimes we can get distracted. We can get busy with other things. And we can forget just how strong God wants us to be happy and fulfilled in His kingdom. Psalm 119, which a lot of people are drawing on right now, and 109, 91 as well. But Psalm 119, 105, your word is the lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if we look at God's word, it is the direction, the path that we need to follow all the time to be in His kingdom and do what is right in His eyes. And with that is blessings, happiness that comes along with it, that some people search for and pay a lot of money for when God's given it to us freely. All we have to do is keep His word, His way of life. Live by every word of God. Now turn to Acts, and I want you to turn there with me, if you would, to Acts 26. Here we have Paul, who is doing a defense and a talk with King Agrippa. He's in his last trials and whatever. And Saul is answering some questions about his background and how did you get where you are today? What is the history of it? And he's relating the story of how he was called into this way of life. He says, Saul, he's relating what happened to him when he was persecuting the Christians on his way. And he said, Saul, Saul, he had this word, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I, Paul, said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for the purpose to appoint you as a minister and a witness both of what you have seen and what I shall reveal in you to you. I am personally, this is Jesus Christ talking to Paul, and if you can put your name in there, maybe you weren't given the same position that Paul had, but he'd been called to be part of God's family. So he says the next one, he said, I am personally selecting you. We've been chosen and called to be in the family of God. Now it's up to us to answer that call. We have a choice to make. If you're fortunate enough to be able to been called by God and chosen by God, then we have to live up to that selection. But he said, I've been personally selecting you from among the people and the Gentiles to whom I will now send you to open their eyes, that is to understand the word of God and the gospel. Then he goes on, he says, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God. So here's Jesus Christ telling Paul, your job is to go open the eyes of the individuals by revealing what I'm teaching you to these individuals out there, that we're to change from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan the devil. Now that's happening out there in the world today, and unfortunately, a lot of people aren't listening, and quite frankly, even in the church some days, we stray away and we don't listen to everything we need to really stay on the right path. And I have the same problem every day. I have to battle that with my own life. So it's not easy in this world we live in. So we look at what the story, I'm going to tell a little story, I'm not going to read it, about Jonah. Now Jonah was given a task by God. And Jonah sat there and said, God, I know what you're going to do, God. You're going to get me, I'm going to go into Nineveh, and you're telling me to tell them to repent, to change their way of life. You see, you're going to make a fool out of me. I'm going to go in there and say, and you're going to do it. You're going to get them to repent. They're going to change their way of life. I'm going to go in there, I'm going to make all these pronouncements, and you're going to make me like a fool. So I'm not going to do that. So he said, to escape that, he goes running off to the Mediterranean, gets on a ship, has a big storm. They throw him overboard. God makes a special fish or a whale, whatever, swallow him up. And you believe he lived in the belly of this fish. Must be awful. And he was coughed up on the beach. I can't even imagine what that was like. But he went on into Nineveh then, and sure enough, he proclaimed what God told him to do. And Nineveh, what happened? Starting with the king, the king said that every man, woman was to repent of their sins, put their sackcloth and ashes on, and repent of the way they were. And God did what he said he would do. If they repented, and they did, and the whole nation repented, Nineveh was spared by God for 50 years until he went back to their old ways, and then, of course, they were destroyed. But he gave them, he promised them, that if you repent, God is not going to just wave over the United States. You know, I mean, there was a big story that we had a break and we had a president that came in and changed things. And yes, they were good. And we were hoping he would continue on for another 4 years and we would have a break in our society and whatever. And of course, changes came one way or the other, whichever you want to assess that. And a new president comes in, and we're already not even a year into it, and we're already in big trouble. Prices are going up. Energy is crises is going to take place, and on it goes. So we can see the fruits of not obeying God's laws and commandments. It's evident. If we break God's laws, we're not going to be blessed as a nation, as an individual. That's just what it is. So unless there is deep repentance, and that's what happened to Nineveh. God said, look, I'll relieve this penalty of you breaking all my laws if you repent. And you take that deep repentance, just like we had to do individually, the same applies for the nation. And it has to start with the churches and the synagogues, the teachings of the clergy, to teach God's way of life. You can't pull it back. You got to tell people what the expectations are to get the blessings. You have to warn the people that if you're going to continue on the way you're traveling right now, you're going to be in big trouble. There's the road's out. There's a river up ahead that there's no barrier. You're going to go in there, you're going to drown, whatever the case may be. But God is warning us that if we don't repent as a nation, as an individual, then we're going to pay serious penalties. And he says, we can read the end of the book, and we know that during that time, if the nations don't repent, what's going to take place. But it has to start right in the church. We've got to do our job as individuals and as a church. And that's true with any church out there until it. I can't see it happen. I mean, you look at the way the leadership of this nation is going, the churches are going. I mean, Biden met with the Pope. Pelosi went to the Pope. They talked about abortions. Pope says, I hate abortions. It's killing people. But he went along with it and says, nope, they can take their communion as being Catholics. They're very faithful Catholics. Very religious. Well, how can you be religious and break the commandment of killing an unborn child? And they're fighting to keep the heartbeat situation from Texas out. So, I mean, you have the religious leaders, the darkness, the power of darkness within the churches, starting with the Catholic Church, and they've changed the commandments. They're doing everything to distort God's law. They said the Pope is the vicar of Christ on the earth. He can make decisions that are only God's decisions to make. You cannot change the Word of God. No man can, only God can. So Satan has taken over our leadership and our churches in this nation. They worship on Sunday, they keep all the holidays, and on it goes, but they're breaking God's commandments right, left, and center. And so unless this nation repents, then we can see what's happening in prophecy leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And it's not going to get any better. Let's go to Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Verse 2 says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. You think about that. When did that happen before? Go to Genesis 1 in verse 2. You see the earth was void and without form. And the darkness covered the whole face of the earth. And so God had to reestablish it. It was the rebellion of Satan at the time when he thought he could take over the throne of God. And it just wiped out everything, destroyed everything. God's angels had to destroy what corruption was taking place by Satan and the angels that went with him. And that the whole earth became dark. And he was cast back to the earth. So when you look at that, darkness shall cover the whole earth. But he goes on in Isaiah 2, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. So if we don't have repentance, God is warning us right here in Isaiah 60 verse 2 that this darkness is going to cover the whole earth and the people. It will be gross. He's warning us. He's not leaving us in the dark. How bad is this going to be? We don't know, but it says in Matthew 24, the very words of Christ said, there will be trouble like this, nor has there since the creation of the world. So if you look at the future, that God's warning us right now is that if we do not repent, we don't change our ways, then this whole earth is going to be in total darkness. Satan is going to take it over and complete his area, and it's only going to take Christ's return to be able to sort it all out and give us an opportunity after that. So he says, it continues on in verse 2, that, but the Lord shall arise upon you and glory shall be seen upon you. And that's when Christ is going to return at the end here. In Isaiah 8, verse 20. Isaiah 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, old and new, some people think you can only do with one of the testimonies, either the Old Testament or New Testament, but God's Word is you need the whole book of God to understand the Word of God. If they do not speak according to this Word, God's Word, it is because there is no light in them. They don't have God's Spirit in there to be able to reveal to you or teach you God's Word. And they will pass through the land hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, that they will rave and curse their king and their God, and that's happening already, and look upward, and they shall look into the land and behold trouble and darkness and gloom of anguish, and they shall be driven away into the darkness. So when you look at the future, if we don't repent and change our ways, and that happens within us ourselves, we have to be examples to this world. You don't have to preach or stand on the corner or wave signs. You have to just live the example of God's way, and you're going to set that example. Matthew 6 and verse 22. Matthew 6 and verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That's all you see. That's all your mind entails is darkness, Satan's world. How bad can it get? So it's Satan's influence is very strong and with us all the time. But it shows the progress of what is happening right now around us. And God is allowing us to see this because when Christ returns, that's what's going to be going on. We talked about that before. This world is going to be in chaos. And God is going to have to sort that out, and we're going to be part of it. And we just can't ignore these things that are happening around us right now. Some people just want to hide under the table or something. Don't tell me about this stuff. I don't want to know what's coming. You know what's coming. I mean, you can walk out in front of the street and say, well, don't tell me about the truck coming. You walk out there and a truck hits you. You say, why didn't you tell me about the truck? Well, that's what God's doing. He's warning us all the time about what's coming and what we can do about it ourselves individually. Isaiah 9 and verse 2 says here, Isaiah 9 and verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. So when Christ returns, that will be true. But in the meantime, we have to be the light of the world. And Matthew 7, 5 talks about us being a light, and we need to shine out to the world. Because when God looks down on us, he wants to know, hey, is your light shining? Are you following my laws and my commandments? And also it's an example to the people around us. You don't have to preach about what you believe, but you can certainly show it by the example of how you treat people and how you walk in life. It's a hard walk to make. But why do people love darkness? Well, Christ came as light as the world, teach a different way, and they killed him. But a lot of people don't believe in God. They don't want to follow God's laws. They don't want to follow... They don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to repent. Hey, I'm enjoying life. I enjoy what I'm doing. I don't want any of this to happen. The reason is because also our religious leaders in the world aren't really setting the right example. They're not teaching God's laws and God's commandments. And most of them are hypocrites. Because we can just look at the priests that have come out over and over again. Supposedly, the examples of walking in the way of Christ and yet abusing people constantly. So people look at that and they say the hypocritical conduct. And that could happen in the church. If we're not living what we preach, then what kind of example are we to the world? You know, you could say all platitudes all day, every day. I could preach this sermon today, and if I'm not living part of this, who's going to believe what I'm saying? doesn't have any validity to it if you're not carrying through and living that way of life. It's just not happening. So in John 3 and verse 18, the one who believes in him is not judged, but the one who does not believe has already been judged, because he did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and was Jesus Christ's first coming, but men love darkness rather than light. So they don't want to repent because their works were evil. So they just enjoyed what they were doing. For everyone who practices evil hates the light. Anybody that's preaching the truth of God, like Jesus Christ, and came to save the world by paying for their penalties of all the sins that have been created, and they killed him because they don't, hey, they don't want to know the truth of God. They took a criminal and chose the criminal over Jesus Christ. And that happens quite often in this world we look at. You wonder why so many people in this world that know, that have been in government or high positions, who committed great crimes and got away with it. Nobody talks about their crimes. But if you take a little person, doesn't have the influence, they throw them under the jail. So you just see where Satan is catering to these individuals. That's what we're facing today. People hate when you talk to them about God's way of life, or don't bother me with that. They don't want to be bothered with, talk to, or what's going to happen in the future. That can happen in the church. Don't tell me about the future. I don't want to know. Leave me alone. Now they can practice a certain way, but you've got to know what's going on in the world and how it's happening. God to take away all our pleasures. You know, we have to prepare the fact that there may be food shortages. We're going to have to rely on God more and more as time goes on. You can't deny that. Continue on John 3 here in chapter 3. Does not come to light so the works may not be exposed, but the one who practices the truth comes to the light. And that's what we must do. We must come to God's way of thinking, his way, so his works can be manifested, that they have been accomplished by the power of God. That's how we are able to survive in a society, by having God's Holy Spirit, to let the power of God work in us through his Spirit. But we must change our way of life, our living, our thinking, and everything about us to be able to accommodate God's teaching. We can't just go on and follow the way the world is. Too many people are doing that. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we've read that once before, but this is what we need to do. There's so many people in the church even have to be careful that we don't fall into one of these traps of thinking that we can just go on with our way of life and not make any changes. But God is requiring. His way of life is not easy. You can't walk in darkness. You cannot have one foot in the world in darkness and one foot in the light. Doesn't work. You can't play around with God's word and say, I'm going to keep the Sabbath this way, but I want to do this as well. So I'll integrate part of the world into my Sabbath keeping. It doesn't work that way. I can break God's law whenever I, as long as he's not looking. It's like you can hide from God, but you can't hide from God. You can't escape God. But this is what happens if people make compromises. And we've done that before. But when we understand God's way of life, it's a full-time commitment. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy to walk in God's way of life. It's difficult. It takes discipline. It takes closeness to God. And 1 John 2 and verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3. And by the standard we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So that's the standard of judgment. No one can say, know him, does not keep his commandments, is a liar. This is what he says. This is Jesus Christ here saying, John inspired, by this standard we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And the one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Now that's not me saying that. That's Jesus Christ through John revealing that person that says that is denying that. So every Sunday or holiday keeper that we know who says they know Jesus is according to Jesus is a liar. Those are pretty strong words. But that's what he's saying here. So we must keep his commandments of God. That's what happens in our lives after that. This is a must do for us when we are living in the darkness that's all around us. Because we're surrounded by Satan's way of life, Satan's environment that we have to come out of. In 1 John 2, continue on in verse 5. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, and that increases the responsibility greatly, not keeping the commandments, but keeping his words by living by every word of God, that's pretty difficult. But that's what he's asking us to do. Verse 5 says, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. By this means, we know that we are in him, so that we're not being swept aside with the power of darkness that's coming on the whole world. So if we have let God live in us and we are keeping his word, living by every word of God, it's a protection that we have that God has given us. But are we doing that? Are we obligating ourselves to walk in a way of life? Are we walking in his way of life? And this is the standard we need to keep. So let's go to Proverbs 4 and verse 18. Proverbs of one of the Psalms and Proverbs, if you just had those two books alone, you would do well to understand them and walk in that way. But in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. When these troubles and difficulties are coming upon us, we need to stay closer to God, not run away from God, but to stay closer to God when these troubles come upon us. In verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. Again, talking about Satan's way. They know not why they stumble. So people are confused out there. They can't understand, why is this happening to me? Well, maybe if you follow God's way of life and you understood what his commandments are and started obeying God a little bit, maybe you would be stumbling in the dark, because Satan is dark. Every solution coming out of man is confusion, doubt, not logical. And people just look at that and the conflict that people have, they can't understand why it is that they have that conflict. Psalms 26, if you look at David and all he went through, he was a man after God's own heart. I know when I first came to the church, even when I first came to Ambassador College, they would talk about God being a man after God's own heart. And I thought, after reading David and some of his background, I think, how is that possible? How is David a man after God's own heart with what all he did and all he was guilty of? Then I realized that what they were talking about, that David was a man that had vision of what God had promised him and repented. And that's what you talk about, as God is talking about, is deep repentance that's being required. David had his conflict. It wasn't an easy go. He was a man of war. He had conflict in his family. You can go on. David did not live a easy life, but he was a faithful man and kept his focus on God. Psalms 26 and verse 1. This is David here. Very interesting. Psalm 26, verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord without wavering. So along the way, God was doing his best to obey God. He would repent, would change, and he would follow God. He would focus on what he needed to do when it was pointed out to him by God, and he would change. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. That's pretty. You ask yourself, hey God, examine me. That's what we need to do every day. Examine me, O Lord. Make me clean. Make me pure so I can qualify to be in your kingdom, to be part of your family. Prove me and try my reins and my heart, and where loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. So David is saying that was the only way he could walk in his truth. And verse 4 says, I have not sat with deceitful men, neither will I go in with hypocrites. So in Psalm 26, it continues on here. Psalm 26, verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. David is talking about his integrity to God. That comes from God. It doesn't come from man. It comes from something you build up yourself. It needs you God's help to put His Holy Spirit in you to be able to have that integrity towards God. To redeem me, he says, and be gracious unto me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the eternal. So you see where David's heart was and what he was attempting to do constantly to stay in focus on God's way and His kingdom. He made his mistakes, no question about it. Psalm 27, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Because many times he was obviously in difficult situations. He says, whom should I fear? The Lord is my strength, my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So he knew as long as he had his relationship with God, he would have the strength to be able to carry on. And so we need to focus on that. So we don't need to be afraid. We can see through things happening, and we don't need to be afraid of fear, because God is with us. If we trust in Him, He will always be with us. God is with you. He'll protect you. He'll have His angels about. I pray about that all the time, that God would be with His people. He would raise them up. He would put His angels around them. When you pray for somebody, ask God, hey, it's our Father. What father doesn't love his child? More than we can even physically love one another, God loves us even more. So to take somebody up in his arms, to give him comfort, you think about that. When somebody's really in pain and hurting, if we pray that God the Father would just take them up and hold them, to give them courage and give them strength and give them relief, and you know, pray for individual that way that's in great pain in the hospital right now. Think about Melissa, has been in a lot of pain, and she's not the only one you pray for that have been in serious pain, and God would just comfort them. That's what we can do. That's how we can serve and how we can be close to God and ask the angels to be around and protect them. So God didn't say we wouldn't have trials. We're all going to have trials along the way, but God said He would never leave us or forsake us, and we can never forget that. We need to keep our mind focused on the kingdom of God. You know, we did that temple of God in the future that we can work our way to. Psalms 27, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. You know, that's a great prayer that we ask God to open our minds and our hearts to receive His truth. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my enemies. Because Satan is our enemy. He's going to try to trip us up anytime we can. He can. In verse 14, same chapter, Psalm 27. Wait for the Eternal. Be of good courage. He shall make your heart strong. Yea, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. So don't give up. No matter what you face, God will be there for you. And we know that He said in other areas that we are the temple of God. And He and Jesus Christ want to dwell in the temple of God, to be with us. That's the encouragement we have. We can't forget that. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to close here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 16. When you look at this and read it as a promise from God, we all should be extremely fortunate, blessed, and remember that God says He'll never leave you, forsake you. But in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 6 says, God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, the temple of God. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That God will be my people. I don't care how old you are. The littlest one in here to the oldest one in here. God says, you are my people. I will be with you. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, we're under God's protection. We have to remember God loves us. He'll be there for us when we need Him at any time. How many of us in here, when our child is in trouble, don't go running to the aid of that child? I doubt anybody in here would ignore that. How much more God then reveals that He'll be there for us? If you think about it that point of view, that God will always be there for you. So we are to focus on the kingdom of God, that we are children of God if we qualify and stay close to Him. That's our vision. That's what the prophets and Abraham and all, even they didn't have near the knowledge we have. But they had that understanding, they had that faith to be able to look to the future and the kingdom that they could visualize in the future of when God would return with His Son and we'd be part of it. But in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, I'm going to finish here. He says, therefore, very important word, therefore, come out from the midst of them and be separate, says the Lord. So come out of the darkness. Come out of the influence of Satan. Come out of the doubts and fears that we may have of keeping God's law or talking about God's way. Realize that there are a lot of difficult situations we have to deal with. But we have to be serious about what we're talking about and the way we live our life. We can't ignore it. And we can't bury it. He said, therefore, come out from the midst of them and be separate, says the Eternal. And touch not the unclean. And I will receive you. God says, I will receive you. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Eternal Almighty God. If you haven't heard anything else I've said this whole message, just keep that in mind. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. It's a promise from God. Very powerful promise. Therefore, come out from the midst of them and be separate, says the Eternal. And touch not the unclean. Don't get involved with this world and what they're doing. And I will receive you. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Eternal God. Those are promises of God that we need to keep in mind all the time and realize that God is always there for us, and He's willing to forgive us our sins always, no matter what they are. So brethren, let's keep the faith and keep the Sabbath the way it should be kept and follow God's laws and commandments always.